Praise God. God bless you young people for all your efforts and labors. What you're doing is good. God bless you for it. It's rewarding for us as parents to sit here and listen to you share your hearts. And I just want to encourage you, let God continue to move in your hearts. I feel a little bit like my mind is spinning a little bit to keep track of all the ground I'm covering here today. So if I reword myself or say something I've said before, it's because I'm not quite keeping my mind together on everything. I'm finding it a little bit of a challenge. Could we rise for prayer? Dear God, our Father, thank you for blessing us here this afternoon again. Pray for your grace and spirit upon our hearts. Help us as we sit here in the warm afternoon after having enjoyed another good meal. We can be alert and be able to connect with the things you have for each one of us where we are today. I pray, dear Lord, guide my mind, guide my thoughts. I pray you'd help me to be able to keep things together in the way that what I share can be followed. I just pray that you would direct my mind and direct my thoughts and guide me, Lord. And bless these dear people here. And pray for each one of the young people that is here today, that you would bless their lives. Give them fresh courage to keep pressing on and reward them, Lord, for how they have applied their hearts in seeking after you and cause their lives to prosper, to grow, to flourish, to be fruitful. Just pray for your grace upon each one of them. Help us as parents as we bear the responsibility of guiding their dear young hearts and lives. Lord, would you raise up a people for yourself that can be an example, a testimony, a witness of your word, of your power, of your greatness, of the testimony of Jesus Christ here on this earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This afternoon, I would like to look at God's plan for male and female, and I'd like to attempt to also look at some snares with some practical applications and direction for us in responding to real-life situations on this subject. God's plan for male and female. Anyway, I was saying you can turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verse 1 through 12 after a bit here. As we look at God's plan for male and female, I'd like for us to think a little bit about where we are. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And it's talking about when you're young, you have the pleasure and the joy. You have the pleasure and the joy of thinking about the future of life and what's ahead, what's coming. There comes a day when it isn't so fun anymore. I trust I'm not there yet, but I sense there's something moving in on me that wasn't present 30 years ago. And it's, you know, you get older, you get more tired, it isn't so free anymore, it isn't as easy anymore. And the day comes where maybe someone else will even be taking care of us. And it isn't so pleasurable. But we're talking today about the side of life that is young. Remember the days in thy youth when the evil days come not. They're good days. They're encouraging days. They're zealous days. They're days of feeling well, of having opportunity ahead of us. And as we think about the future, you know, God has a plan for each one of us. And when we follow God's plan as young people, it brings blessings. I wonder how many of you young people here would hope, maybe even dream, think about having a good and a blessed life. Is there anybody here like that? Uh-huh. Yeah. We naturally think that way, don't we? And that's good. I'm going to encourage that, to think that way. I think the way we think matters. But we naturally think about looking at the future, and it's going to be a good life. A young couple that is here and is courting, maybe they're engaged. I am pretty confident that you're looking forward to a married life together that is going to be good. I mean, after all, for me to have the opportunity to marry the young lady that I was courting was going to give me to be the most blessed guy on earth. Right? Yeah, amen. So we're thinking about the future. We expect a happy life. We dream about the future. And in our minds, our plan is that it will turn out well. We might have motivations that are positive. We might have some that are negative. The decisions and actions in our youth affect the rest of our lives. So what we choose here matters. What we choose in life matters. And as we look at God's plan today for male and female, there are decisions people make that go one way or the other way, pretty dramatically. So the decisions we make matter. Proverbs 18:22, I already quoted this morning, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Isaiah 62 verse 5 says, "As a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry these," comparing the kingdom of God with a young man marrying a virgin. "And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." And we could talk about God rejoicing over us, but He's using the example of a bridegroom rejoicing over his bride. And I think for all of us that are old enough to think and reason here, we have seen that. A number of us have experienced that, where there's a specific joy that a bridegroom, a young man, has over his new wife. She is a joy and a delight to him, and he rejoices over her. God wants to give blessing to us. His plan is to have blessings. And we think good things, blessed things. But not everybody's life turns out that way. Not everybody's life turns out that way. The decisions we make and the life we live matters whether it's going to turn out that way. I'd like to tomorrow morning go through what I call a courtship process, which is an example of things to do to turn out in the blessed will of God. But that is not automatic. And today I'd like to talk about some things that we make decisions which way we go. So, let's go to Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 1. "And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort again unto him. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart He wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation of God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. So God has a plan, a good plan, a plan of blessing. And obviously the Pharisees here are asking about divorce, and that is not a perfect plan, is it? There's something else going on here. They're asking about something different other than what the plan that God had. And Jesus goes back to the beginning and reaffirms that God, in the beginning, created them male and female. Which, I want to go to Genesis, which you can just turn there. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. This whole thing about male and female and marriage and man and woman is all God's thing. He's the one that created this. He's the one that put it together. He's the one that designed it. It was God's plan. And now we're in the New Testament, and man has had years, thousands of years of working this thing, and we've got our own agendas going on. And when Jesus is asked about it, he just simply says, let's go back to the beginning. The way God created it in the beginning. God had a plan. And in that plan, it becomes very evident God created one man and one woman, and he told them to leave and cleave and be joined together. Which we want to talk about that some more as we go through the message here. Genesis chapter 2, and we read a good bit of this morning, how God brought the animals and everything to Adam, and there was not one found for Adam, and he caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And Adam slept, and he took a rib and closed it up, and flesh instead thereof. Let's start in verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. This is what Jesus was referring back to in Mark chapter 10. Here in Genesis, there was no father and mother yet. But he knew what's coming and said a man is going to need to leave and cleave and be joined to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And he was saying, God has made this. This is God's plan. This is God's plan. And I want to get there after a while where we talk, start bringing in how the adversary, the devil, has been trying to destroy God's plan. This is God's plan. It's God's creation. Chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This was God's plan. God created us male and female. You know, in our day, there's many people that want to teach evolution and say that we evolve to be who we are. Today, we don't even want to recognize male and female as an identity. It's like a reprobate mind that doesn't even face any reality anymore. There's no absolutes. God made male and female in a beautiful and a perfect design. This is God's plan. And God's plan brings blessing. So I'd like to look at several different things as God's plan. And I'm going to move through them here fairly fast. Number one, God brings Eve to Adam. We read that this morning. We just read it here too. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And for Adam, he's been looking at all the animals, he's been looking at the birds, he's been looking at the fish, and he found himself alone. And now God brings him a helpmeet, a wife, an Eve. And I think Adam in his heart goes, wow, now that one fits me. Yes. Yes, that one fits me. You don't see a debate with, well, are you sure this one's right? No, when God brought Eve to Adam, I believe Adam realized this one's for me. In fact, this one was taken from my side. Adam and Eve had never let their emotions go to anybody else. All they knew was the two of them. And I think that is a beautiful thing when young people can go to sleep, put this thing to rest, serve the Lord, and then let the Lord bring things together and open doors. And here it is. And it just has a purity and a cleanness. God's plan for male and female. Number two is leaving and cleaving in unity for life. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. It is God's will that a young man would leave his father and his mother. I believe a young lady needs to leave her father and her mother. They too need to join together in one. Mark chapter 10, we just read that one. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Leaving means to leave down. That is to hide, to abandon. I don't know if I should say this or not. I say it sometimes in weddings. It's uncomfortable to talk about. But if we have godly homes where we have strong relationships, we have good relationships, and we're looking forward to our children getting married, and they go and they have their own homes, there's some pain. There's a word abandoning here that doesn't sound very nice when we're talking about relationships. You know, my wife and I were both the first ones in our families to get married, and there was no issue. There was no problem. To my utter surprise, my brother that was 10 years younger than I, when we said our goodbyes at the wedding day, he just bawled on my shoulder. Why is that? Because there's a leaving. And we have our home, and I remember when our first one got married, I was like, okay, this is a good thing, and we're rejoicing, but I've got this pit in my stomach. There's this pain in my heart. In the middle of a joyful wedding, how can that be? Well, I've come to rest. We need to accept that. If we're going to have good family relationships, you don't have a young man or a young lady leaving that relationship and cleaving to a new relationship without some pain. And I think we need to embrace it. The first thing we need to do is commend ourselves that it's good. It's good. We want good relationships in our homes. But then I need to accept that it's going to be a little bit painful, but it's okay. It is okay. But we do need to let go and let them leave. And young people do need to leave. They do need to cleave. That's God's plan. Number three, they shall be one flesh, also in Genesis 2:24. Two single people becoming one married couple, one unit, one family, one flesh, one heart, one mind. These things are crucial if there's going to be a stable family going forward, that they are one. God said it's not good for the man to be alone. And He created male and female, and He looked at it, and when He was done, He said it's very good if they're united together. God didn't create divorce. God created them, male and female, in the beginning, to be together, to be united together, to be one together, one flesh, one heart, one mind. Mark chapter 10, verse 8 and 9, "And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." There are many that struggle with being one over time. And I would ask the question again, so we're dreaming about the future and it's going to be good. We want it to turn out well. And for those of you that are married, if you face some challenges, do you want a good marriage? I think that's an easy answer. The next question is, will you choose it? And this seems almost too basic. If we say, yes, I choose it, then start doing things that make that happen. And it may be that simple. It's profound change in our minds when we're thinking about the things that offend me that my spouse does versus, let's have a good marriage. Let's have a good relationship. Those little annoyances, can we just let them go and overlook them and go on? I'm choosing a good marriage. Number four, an unequal yoke. It's God's plan for a couple to be one, to be gathered in one and not be an unequal yoke. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 15. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness and unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or what hath he that believeth with an infidel?" And I think this can be applied to a church brotherhood, but I do think it would also apply in marriage. It is essentially important that we are one in our conviction, in our heart, where we're going. It is not God's plan for a marriage to be together unequally yoked. That causes trouble. Causes trouble when it's time for one flesh, one heart, and one mind. 1 Corinthians 7:39, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will." But he says, only in the Lord. And I think that applies the first time, not just the second time. And for male and female. Number five, God's plan is for us to have children in our married relationships. And if you're here and you're not able to have children, I just ask you, please bear with me. I'm not here to make you feel bad. our hearts go out to you. God planned for us to have children in our home, in our marriage relationship. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. This is a blessing in God's plan. Genesis 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Again in verse 7, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. God's plan for male and female, for married life together. Number 6 is a headship order. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So you have God, you have Christ, you have man, you have the woman, and then you have children. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Young people, it's important for you to learn this headship authority thing before you step into this role of being married and being parents. It is essentially important for you to learn this thing. Learn to be under authority as a child and as a youth. The better we learn to be under authority, the better we'll be prepared for the responsibilities of life in being in authority. Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added unto thee. I think we want that one. Length of days, long life, peace shall be added unto thee. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing unto God. God has a plan that brings blessing. Number 7, a godly marriage. This is out of Ephesians 5, verse 21 to 23. It says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I talked earlier about young men needing to learn this one, to be able to submit one to another and blend and yield. Then he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands in the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. This is God's plan. And for you young ladies, the way for you to know how you will be responding to a young man, just look at how you're responding to your dad. Look at how you're responding to the authority in your life. Submission to dad equals submission to a husband. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Young men, I'd like to give you a gauge to go by as well, as to whether you will be able to fulfill this thing of loving your wife as yourself. And I'm going to lift up your mom as that go-to place. How are you treating your mom? Do you love her? Will you protect her? Would you give your life for your mom? If you'll do that, you can rest assured that you're ready for God's plan in your life with a young lady, a young sister, as your wife. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. This is God's plan for male and female. Number 8, being heirs together of the grace of life. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This is more directed at the young men and as husbands, being able to be sensitive to our wife, to our sisters, which are the weaker vessel, and being able to understand them, connect with them. They're the weaker vessel. And if we're not united together, I get the picture here. If we're failing in understanding them and meeting their needs, we're going to suffer in being heirs of the grace of God in life. So it becomes essential for us as men that we connect here. And we understand. We're able to learn to know them. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Young men, learn to understand your mom. Learn to understand your sisters. Give honor unto them as unto the weaker vessels. Sisters, I'm just going to tell you here something. I don't know if the young men are going to hear me or not, but I want you to listen to me. If you see a young man that disrespects his mom and sisters, he gets a no. Okay? Because he will not be respecting you. You'll have a difficult life coming with that kind of young man. We understand our wife as a weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life. I could talk about this one a while. I'm going to keep moving. Number 9, the blessing of a secure home. Psalm 144, verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And this scripture just gives the picture of a home that is flourishing, that is fruitful, that's just beautiful and peaceful. And yes, real life is going to have challenges in it. There isn't going to be a home without some sandpaper, if you will. There's going to be some sandpaper. What am I going to do with that? How do we respond with that? And yet the home is flourishing. If we just rub sandpaper against sandpaper and that's just what we do, it's going to be nasty. It's going to be bad. But when we can learn to respond to each other in a forgiving, loving, and caring way in the midst of sandpaper. Sandpaper can't be the everyday thing, but it will come some. The rose bush is going to have some pricks on it, but smell the roses. Enjoy them. It's a blessed and a secure home, and we can have it. God's plan is that we have it. God's plan is that there's a beauty and an aroma coming out of our home that is a witness for Him. We can have it. Let's go get it. A little bit like the donkey with a carrot out ahead of us. God's hanging it out there saying, you can have this if you want it. Number 10. As Christ and the church. God's plan is that marriage be an example as Christ and the church. So as we look at God's plan for male and female, it should be an example of Christ and the church. This is also out of Ephesians 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. And as we look at God's plan for male and female in the aspect of courtship, there is a wanted sign for fathers that are willing to give their lives. Young men that are willing to lay down their lives and their own agenda. Young men that are willing to be patient and gentle and understanding. There's a wanted sign in the kingdom of God for such young men that can bring glory to Christ. There's a wanted sign for young men that are willing to lose sleep. Young men that are willing to go, keep on going when they're tired. Young men that are able to stay calm and not react or panic in stressful circumstances. There's a wanted sign. Young men that are willing to lead and guide a wife and children, eternal souls, through this life. There's a wanted sign. There's a wanted sign for mothers that are submissive and yielded to authority. Young ladies that are willing to be led and guided, that are willing to follow, that are willing to cheerfully submit to their authority and willing to serve and be spent for their family, willing to bear pain and discomfort, willing to be a helpmeet, giving themselves for His burden and vision. There's a wanted sign for fathers and mothers that will raise up a godly seed here on the earth. But if we're going to have it, we need to make clear decisions that obey the Word of God. Young men that quit like men, willing to rise up for the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to be soldiers and have a Christ-like character. Young men that are hot with humility. Hot with humility. Maturity comes with a process seeking after God. We want God's blessing as it was in the beginning. We want God's blessing. We think of that blessing. We desire after that blessing. The Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmeet. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. God has a plan for male and female. With that plan was introduced an adversary back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. And I'd like to go there in a little bit. But first, I'd like to talk about Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. This is the verses right before Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And I'd like to read verse 1 first. Again, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. The decisions we make matter. And many, many young people in our day are making wrong decisions that cause ruin in their lives. Even though that God has a perfect plan for male and female, He wants to bless them with. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. As we look at the journey of life as a young person, I don't know if there's any trappers here or not. Do we have any trappers here? We have a few. You ever do a snare? You have. You should come up here because I haven't. I've trapped quite a bit. But the idea of a snare is that you camouflage the snare into the passage where the animal is going that you are wanting to catch. But it's not noticeable to them. Obviously, if you look good enough, you can see it. But if you're the one setting the snare, you're going to try to set that thing in a way that it is not noticed. You're going to try to set it in a way that the passage is just a little bit on the tight side. Somewhere, especially at the bottom, it needs to catch as they go, and as they pass through, the slide begins to close. And usually, it's like something's hindering me a little bit and keep on going, and all of a sudden it's tight. The thing about a snare is it does not reverse. It's set so that it pulls tight, it stays. And the harder that the animal struggles, the tighter it pulls. And eventually they end up taking their own life with the struggle they're having. Well, life as a young person making wrong decisions take us on a path where the adversary has snares and he means to take our life. He means to destroy us. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. In verse 4, God knows that the day ye eat of there, if your eyes shall be opened, you shall know good and evil. Now he's presenting knowing good and evil as something that is really good and it's really fantastic. And in fact, you're missing out if you don't participate here. And young people, you're going to hear those very same principles in stories. These wonderful looking things that, oh, you're missing out. I mean, you're living a very restrained life. You should just loosen up a bit and you could have all this excitement and enjoyment and fulfillment. So in verse 7, after Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It says, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Why did they do that? Something went wrong, right? Somewhere there was a snare. They were guilty. They had a burden of sin upon their hearts. They disobeyed God. This wonderful knowledge of good and evil wasn't so wonderful anymore. It was a snare. Satan wants us to defile our moral purity before marriage, our emotional purity, our physical purity. He wants us to destroy our moral purity for our marriage, and then after we're married, he wants to destroy our marriage. He's looking to destroy what God has made. He's the enemy of God, and if we're the children of God, then he becomes our enemy as well. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Remember that. By good words and fair speeches. By good words and fair speeches. The influence of others causing us to fall into sin. I'm tempted to start naming them, but I'm going to refrain. I'm going to let you do that because I don't have the time. But it's such good words and fair speeches like it was in Genesis chapter 3. "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise." He says, "I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And I'd like you to remember this. He wants us to be simple concerning evil. There is absolutely no value in going and learning about evil. He wants us to be simple about it. When we go and learn about evil, we get defiled thereby. And that's what the adversary wants to do as a snare. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. God has a plan, and Satan would like to destroy that plan for our lives. And I have five different things here as we look at this. The first one being a life of sanctification and honor out of Thessalonians chapter 4, was 1 through 4, and I'm going to stay there, referring back to that most of the way through here. Let's start with 1 through 4. A life of sanctification and honor. If we're not going to be caught in the snare of the adversary, then we need to live a life of sanctification and honor through our youth, through our courtship, and through our marriage. Furthermore, then, we beseech you in verse 1, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye should abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. You want to know the will of God, young people? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So this is the will of God, that we would live our lives in sanctification and honor. Know how to possess our vessel. Know how to live in this body. Know how to respond in the face of the temptations that come our way as young people, as we go from being a child, becoming an adult, and going on in life. Think about purification, purity, sanctification, honor, a value, valuables, esteem of the highest degree, and dignity itself. 1 Timothy 5, verse 2, Paul tells Timothy that he should treat the elder women as mothers and the younger as sisters with all purity. With all purity. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So learning how to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor will keep us out of the devil's snare. So an important question I think we need to ask here today, and I don't know where you are as a congregation and how the young people here function together, but how should young men and young women relate to each other? How should young men and young women relate to each other? Should young men and women avoid talking to each other whatsoever? Okay, I'm seeing some head shaking. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. So how do we qualify this? Do married men and women avoid talking to each other whatsoever? No. No. So could we begin qualifying this by saying, you should treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, same as married people do. Youth should treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, same as married people do. So how much should a married brother talk with a sister other than his wife? How would we feel if a married sister would talk with the same brother other than her husband every week? It would raise some serious questions, wouldn't it? We'd say there's an issue here. At the same time, we need to be free of, he talked to me for 10 minutes, I think he likes me. We need to be free of that. We don't have it on the shelf where it ought to be, or surrendered and have gone to sleep when we do those things. Learn to live your life in sanctification and honor, keeping your emotions for your marriage partner. We do want to be like Adam and Eve. They didn't have anybody else. There was nobody else. So that's not how it is here today. There are lots of people here. There are many opportunities to exchange emotions in whatever way. But don't play with your emotions. If you sense someone wants to play with your emotions, back away from that relationship. So how do we know if someone is trying to play with our emotion and draw our favor? I'm going to give you a list here. I can't say that this is all inclusive because I'm just one man in one family, and yet these are not unusual. Frequent attention. Frequent attention is something to be alert to. Light in the eyes. You know, we see light in people's eyes when they're happy. We see when they're sad. This light in the eye is a different light. It's a light that is wanting to appeal. Maybe it's a light that's trying to catch your eye. There might be a smile behind it. It might be something that you realize you're being watched. You look up over and over and over, and so-and-so is looking at me. Put them on the no option list. If you have an appreciation for someone, don't let them know. Okay? If you have an appreciation for someone, don't let them know. Learn to walk in sanctification and honor. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As young people, interact as a group with supervision from the brotherhood. Interact as families. Fathers, provide oversight to your children. And I don't know what happens here, but I don't know if you've caught on, but I have a burden that us daddies get involved. I have a burden that us daddies take our responsibility. I have a burden that us daddies are there. So probably doesn't happen here. It's happened back at home over the years that we're together for an activity as families and maybe even as a church, and we're at a point where we're heading home, but then there's certain families that the young people somehow stay there. And daddy, he goes home, and the young people are just left there. Can I just say, that is not going to end up abstaining from all appearance of evil? Can I just say, that's an open door of vulnerability to our young people? We want to teach them to live a life of sanctification and honor. Number two, abstain from fornication is also in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You know, we really shouldn't need to say this here. But the truth of the matter is it happens in the churches of people that profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is we are people with fleshly, God-breathed-in emotions and hormones. We're real people. We're real people. He says, abstain from fornication. This is a snare. This is a trap. We didn't mean to. It just happened. Yes, just like a snare. Because we were going a path that caused us to be vulnerable. First Corinthians 6, verse 12 through 20. I would encourage you to write that down. I was going to read it here. For the sake of time, I'm not going to. But there he tells us our body is for the Lord. It's not for fornication. He tells us we're joined unto the Lord as one spirit. He tells us to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? You're not your own. He says you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to snare us. He wants to scar us. He wants to mar us. He wants to destroy our lives. Young people, this is a sin. You fall into it one time and you have a mar and a scar on your life that won't go away. It won't go away. Yes, there can be forgiveness. Yes, there can be healing. But you will not have the testimony that I shared with you this morning of having no regrets. No regrets. I'm passionate about this one. No ungodly appearance. Nobody can say, oh yeah, you wonder what they did in secret. No, none of that. There was a young couple that was at our wedding that had done some things in their courtship. And after the wedding, they went and found a driveway into a field and parked their car and wept before God, repenting about what they did. Because what they saw was a live testimony that had a witness. This is pure and holy. And young people, I am telling you, you can have it. It is readily available. You can have it. Give yourself to die to have that. Don't sacrifice it for anything. Proverbs 6 verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Young people, each one of your lives is precious. Don't give the adversary even an ounce of chance to get a hold of you on this one. Watch out for the snares that want to ruin God's plan of blessing in your life. Number 3, the lust of concupiscence in verse 4. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So young people, as you grow up, you become an adult. There are things that begin to happen in your body that you become a mature person. There are natural passions and desires that God puts in a young man, a young lady, that draw them to wanting companionship. But we need to learn how to deal with these things in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Lust is a passion. Concupiscence is a longing for what is forbidden. A desire. A lust. And we need to bring our body under, into subjection, to live a holy life, a surrendered life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you, young people, have accountability with your parents, young men with fathers, young ladies with mothers or with your parents together. I encourage to have accountability amongst others in the brotherhood. I don't know if you do that here or not, but we are at home. We haven't always. We need to be overcomers in the lust of concupiscence. God wants us to be pure and holy. Satan wants to snare us. Satan wants to snare us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 and 22. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. He says, flee also youthful lusts, which is longings that are forbidden, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Back to Mark chapter 10. In the beginning, from the creation of God, He made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. So they're no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house His disciples asking again of this matter, and He said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. That's the forbidden thing. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. God's plan, God's will and blessing is for one man and one woman. Satan's plan is to destroy marriages with divorce. Now, we would never do that here. We would never do that. But what does happen is that we are still together on the outside, but we're divorced. That does happen. It looks real good. We can come to church here, and everything is real nice and fine. But inside, there's some hard struggles going on. Have you ever thought about it that the adversary would like young people to get in on practicing divorce while they're single? When we get to talking about emotions and affections, we talked about dating a little bit this morning when I started, and I'd like to go into that a little bit deeper. The word dating is a temporary relationship, a social engagement between two persons of the opposite sex. And it has the thing with it of trying different ones in search for the one that I like. There's this falling in love term today that is a hot, passionate feelings, and they're subject to change. Studies have shown that this falling in love, hot, passionate feelings, is something that will take a natural cycle in human beings for about a 2-year cycle. I say it this way, people fall in love and they fall out of love. And you end up with divorce. What was falling in love is all of a sudden hating each other. It's terrible. It's not God's blessing at all. So, practicing divorce starts with boys and girl, boy-girl friendships at a young age. I went to public school growing up. In public school, there was this thing about teasing about who likes who. At a young age, beginning to have affections for somebody special. There were things that went on in school that went way too far in this thing. Growing up into young people, you have this in youth groups. You can have it without youth groups. Whereas there's these thoughts, there's little looks, there's long stares, there's notes, there's little talks. There's sparkling eyes. There's winks back and forth. And when these things happen, the heartbeat elevates. There's an emotional excitement. There's a drawing together. There's a looking forward to seeing each other. And what is happening is we are exchanging emotional feelings. And then we get tired of the boy or girl who's our friend. till we go try another one. Sometimes we're hurt when the boy or girl that's our friend gets tired of us. And there's just this ring around a rosy going on out there of try this, try that, try the next thing. And it's laying the foundation for a life of try it and move on, try it and move on, try it and move on. Therefore, I'm going to lift up a Christ-centered courtship, a Christ-centered courtship that is under authority, avoiding these snares that ruin our dreams. Remember that dreams we had, those good thoughts we have of the blessed life? Well, when we make the wrong choices here, it ruins those dreams and those possibilities and God's plan in our lives. Casual boy-girl relationships, are they sanctification and honor? Lots of time spent talking, interacting, playing, hanging out, lighthearted, gals and pals, independent, self-sufficient. Let's be cool and have a good time. I think we need to talk about technology a little bit. Cell phones, communicating in all kinds of internet ways. People find each other, communicate, meet on the internet, and get married. I don't relate to it. I personally don't think it's healthy. I've seen things that have been very detrimental in this area. And young people, I think your parents should be watching over what age you have a phone, what's going on your phone. I think your phone should be open and available that your parents can pick it up and look at it anytime and see what's going on it. I think there should be an accountability on our phones, what we're doing, what's happening. And, sometimes we look at it and say, well, nothing's going on. What's the problem? But when you begin leaving it go, over time, things do happen. Things do happen. Number 4, defrauding in verse 6. Let no man go on and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Defraud is to be covetous, to overreach. To overreach. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I was going to read down through 1 through 7, talking about perilous times here, men being lovers of their own selves and a whole list of things, traitors in verse 4, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This word led away means to induce. Induced with divers lusts. Lusts that desire to have. Defrauding, overreaching. This goes along with the lust of concupiscence. Overreaching. Proverbs 24:9 says, the thought of foolishness is sin, and a scorner is an abomination to men. We need to not be defrauding each other. Not be overreaching. And this can be in areas of a young man attempting or stealing a young girl's heart without consent of her authority. That's defrauding. A young lady flaunting herself and causing young men to lust after her. That's defrauding. These things are common in the world today. To overreach, to go beyond, to lead on and then back out. To deceive or trick a person into giving up a valuable possession. This can be in the area of moral purity. To stir up desires that cannot be lawfully fulfilled. These things are a snare. They're a trap that are designed to destroy our lives and the blessing of the plan of God in our lives. Now, I'd like to think just a little bit about being covetous and overreaching and seeking life companions. Young ladies need to stay yielded as to who their husband will be. Now, I have been involved enough to know that young ladies do think about these things. They even talk about it amongst each other. I've been a daddy. So I know it happens that there's this idea and, can I say fantasy? Fantasy? About who I want to get married to? Noticing that handsome young man? But I'm here to share. Don't be caught in covetousness and defrauding where you're putting your heart on something that's out of reach. It's actually not there for you to have at this time. Maybe not to have. If you set your heart on a certain one, you're making yourself vulnerable to being hurt. Years ago, remember hearing of a courtship announcement, and then because of involvement in ministry, also hearing about the circle of girls that were heartbroken that they weren't the one. That particular time, I think there, I don't for sure know, but anywhere from 4 to 6 girls had hoped to be the one, and the one that was chosen hadn't even thought about it. Does that give you a clue? This is a vulnerable area. If you have someone you admire, it is important to lay him on the altar completely. Or lay her on the altar completely. And I'm going to say for young ladies, parents need to be yielded as well. I have heard over the years times that parents have gotten involved in arranging things. I've heard young men that prayed that prayer that the dad of the young lady would come. I might be reacting, but young men, if you're praying for that, don't come to our house. I'm not coming to your house. And I don't want to put anybody down that does that. But there's something that gets out of order in the headship structure that God has when that happens. Parents need to be yielded. Don't assume anything until he actually asks. And then number 5. Not uncleanness, but holiness in verse 7. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Uncleanness is impurity, but holiness is purification, a state of purity. God has called us to a state of purity, and where we're in that place, we can avoid the snares of the devil. Verse 8 says, He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has given us all has given us His Holy Spirit. If we carry an attitude that I am old enough to know, we're making ourselves vulnerable. We're making ourselves vulnerable and we're falling into the snare. God has a beautiful plan for male and female, and all of you young people can have it to the full extent. I'd like to just read yet in conclusion here, 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 and 22, and then Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Peter 2, Beloved, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, your life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which Jesus behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. People will look on and say, how did you end up with such a beautiful family? By obeying God. By walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. By being yielded and surrendered. By being under authority. And I can't say them all. By following the plan that God has for His people. God desires to bless us. He has a good plan in mind. It is the adversary that brings things into our lives to destroy God's plan. We want a Christ-centered courtship and a Christ-centered home where the peace and the grace of the Spirit of God is there. God bless you.